News. I'm Christopher Cruz reporting. U.S. Attorney General Jeff Sessions resigned Wednesday. White House correspondent Sagar Magani reports for the Associated Press.
In a letter to the president, Sessions writes, "At your request, I am submitting my resignation." The president tweeted the news, saying Matthew Whitaker, who's been Sessions' chief of staff, will become acting attorney general. The resignation ends what became a toxic relationship, with the president publicly and personally ripping Sessions for months for stepping aside from the Russia investigation. The president said Sessions' move had opened the door to the appointment of special counsel Bob Mueller, who took over the probe and looked at whether Trump's criticism of Sessions was part of a bigger effort to obstruct justice.
President Trump is hailing Republican gains in the Senate. However, he warned on Tuesday Democrats who will take over control of the United States House. A CNN national exit poll found that 55% of voters disapprove of Trump's performance in office, while 44% approve. 56% of those surveyed believe the country is on the wrong track. 41% said it was on the right track. Two Muslim women were elected to the U.S. House on Tuesday. Also among the winners were several first-time candidates, including two Native American women, one of them openly homosexual. They will be among the 100 women who will be sworn in when the new Congress takes over in January, another first in American history. Facebook says it has blocked more than 100 accounts with potential ties to a so-called Russian troll farm that may have sought to interfere with Tuesday's midterm election. In a statement Wednesday, the company said it had blocked the accounts on Facebook and Instagram on Monday. This is VOA News. Pakistan has released a Christian woman, Asia Bibi, from a prison in the city of Multan following her acquittal on charges of blasphemy. Pakistani officials said she left the prison facility Wednesday and was flown to an undisclosed location. Officials say her whereabouts are being kept secret because of threats on her life. Central Americans who say they will walk from their country through Mexico to the United States are deciding whether to continue their journey. Associated Press correspondent Rita Foley reports.
There are about 4,500 immigrants staying at a stadium in Mexico City, sorting through donated clothing, food, and lining up to make quick calls home at a Red Cross stand. They're resting for at least a couple of days, deciding whether to accept Mexico's offer to stay or continue on toward the U.S. One woman from Honduras said nobody's in a bigger hurry than she is to get to the United States, but she said we have to go all together.
UN agencies are warning that hundreds of thousands of severely malnourished children in war-torn Yemen could die because of food shortages and lack of money to provide life-saving treatment. Correspondent Lisa Schlein reports for VOA from Geneva.
The UN Children's Fund warns 400,000 children under age 5 are suffering from severe acute malnutrition and are at risk of dying. UNICEF spokesman Christophe Bouyrak says every year, 30,000 children under age 5 are dying from malnutrition-related diseases. He says one half of Yemen's young children are chronically malnourished. Fighting in Yemen has led to the almost total collapse of the country's health system. It also has prevented the import of food, fuel, medicine, and other supplies critical for the well-being of the population.
International aid groups pleaded Wednesday for the residents of a Yemeni port city trapped between warring government forces and Iranian-backed rebels to be allowed safe passage out of the crossfire. Save the Children said one of its medical clinics had been damaged in the fighting in the densely populated Red Sea city of Hodeida, population 600,000. A Presbyterian church official in Cameroon says 79 students who were abducted from their school, along with their principal, have been freed. The official said the boys are between the ages of 11 and 17. They are psychologically tortured, but otherwise in good health. The exact reasons why they were freed are unclear, but three school staffers kidnapped with the students are still being held captive. You can find more on these and other late-breaking and developing stories from around the world around the clock at voanews.com and on the VOA News mobile app. I'm Christopher Cruz, VOA News.
Good morning, Africa. Welcome to Daybreak Africa from the Voice of America. I'm James Barte in Washington. Today is Thursday, November 8th, and here are some of the stories we are covering. The Cameroon government says abducted students rescued yesterday are in good condition.
They are undergoing a very thorough medical examination. The conversation that I had with the governor and the people, the hospital, they say that their conditions are pretty well.
Issa Chiroma-Bakary is Cameroon's information minister. A visiting UN official calls on South Sudan's government to enact child protection laws. Guinea-Bissau students are planning a protest today to demand government intervention in the ongoing teacher strike. And the CPJ calls on Tanzania's government to release two CPJ staff members.
It appears that they confiscated their passports and they were escorted away from the hotel and to an unknown location. So we're very concerned about the safety of our colleagues and we are calling on the authorities to release them immediately.
Courtney Rush is advocacy director for the Committee to Protect Journalists. 47 people died yesterday, Wednesday, in a road traffic accident in Zimbabwe, and fathers' exercise impacts the health of their children. Those stories, plus our listener of the day, are coming up on Daybreak Africa. The Cameroon government says abducted students who were rescued yesterday are in good condition. Information Minister Issa Chiroma-Bakary says the students are undergoing a thorough medical examination. It's still not clear who abducted about 80 schoolchildren from their Presbyterian school in Bamenda. The government accused separatists seeking an independent English-speaking Cameroon for abducting the students. The separatists accused the military for kidnapping the children to blame it on the separatists. Information Minister Bakary says the rescue was made possible by the combined effort of Cameroon Defense and Security Forces as well as vigilante groups.
What I can confirm is that two students are still into the hand of secessionists. And the principal and the teacher, four people are still into the hand of the secessionists, the abductor.
So altogether, how many students have been freed?
I don't like to be wrong in communicating the figure, but let us say 78.
Mr. Minister, who freed the students, the Cameroon military or the separatists? Because the separatists told me on Monday that their forces had rescue the children. Who rescued the children?
Well, the combination of our defense and security forces, the population, the vigilante groups, combined their efforts. Then the government used the most appropriate tool in order to locate the hideout of the terrorists. And so soon as we discovered the area where they were located, our defense and security forces surrounding them, waiting until the most appropriate time to storm the area in order to free the hostages and to bring to book those who would be arrested, otherwise they would be neutralized. Because they understood that they were almost trapped by our population and our defense and security forces, they escaped with two children and the principal and a teacher.
Minister, how would you describe the condition of the children?
They are in a very satisfactory condition. They are undergoing a very thorough medical examination. The conversation that I had with the governor and the people in the hospital, they say that their conditions are pretty well.
Let me say that in my interview with the separatist spokesperson, they blame your government, your military forces, of being responsible for abducting the children because they say you want to blame them for doing that.
For what purpose? There is no need at all. The world knows how irresponsible they are. There is no need to undertake such trickery because we want to blame them for having abducted the kids. This is nonsense. They were just unable to take the children very far away from Bamenda. And they know also that this will be the hot potatoes into their own hands. To secure this and to claim ransom would be very, very difficult as the army, the population, the vigilante group, all of them were aware of the gravity of the situation, measures taken in order to surround them and to storm the area where they were located. It is completely wrong to blame our army for having done not in our interest.
Mr. On Tuesday, this week, President Paul Biya was inaugurated for the seventh time, and in his speech, he called on the separatists to lay down their arms, but at the same time, he sounded threatening. So how sincere is he when he called on the separatists to lay down their arms?
Let them lay down their arms and come back home. The head of state said that he's ready to welcome them, but in case they refuse, our army will deal with them the strongest way possible, because this chance has been offered to them to lay down their guns, come back home, and to see what can be undertaken. And I think that the speech delivered by the head of state has been a watershed. It has been the leverage which enabled the government to get our children released. The reason why I say yes, head of state, ask them to give up fighting, because it will lead them nowhere. They are going to find themselves in a blind alley, which will be really jeopardizing as far as they are concerned in their strategy. That reason why we are convinced that the speech delivered by the head of state is very, very sincere. He addressed to them as a father, and I think that they will seize this opportunity to lay down their guns and to come back home. And the head of state has a promise to step up the decentralization. And even he pronounced the word of to give them the opportunity to become more autonomous in the decision dealing with their day-to-day life where they are.
Mr. Minister, thank you. We are always happy to have you on Daybreak Africa. Thank you very much.
Merci beaucoup, Saïte. Grand pleasure. It has been always a pleasure to share with you. Thank you.
Issa Chiroma Bakari is Cameroon's Minister of Information. He was speaking with me from the capital, Yaoundé. The U.S.-based Committee to Protect Journalists, CPJ, says two of his staff members were taken from their hotel in Dar es Salaam, Tanzania, on Wednesday by unknown people. The two officials, Angela Kintol, CPJ's Africa Program Coordinator, and Mutoki Mumo, the Africa representative. Courtney Rash, Advocacy Director for the Committee to Protect Journalists, says the two were taken by officers who identified themselves as working with the Tanzania Immigration Authority. She said the CPJ is concerned for the safety of Angela Kintol and Mutoki Mumo.
The Committee to Protect Journalists found out that authorities in Tanzania, it appears with the Immigration Authority, have detained Angela Kintol and Mutoki Mumo from their hotel room in Dar es Salaam. And it appears that they confiscated their passports. They would not return them when asked, and they were escorted away from the hotel and to an unknown location. So we're very concerned about the safety of our colleagues, and we are calling on the authorities to release them immediately.
So could you tell me, what were they doing in Tanzania?
Sure. My colleagues were there in Tanzania to report on the press freedom situation there, to understand the environment in the country for journalists, and to strengthen CPJ's network of Tanzanian journalists, news outlets, and civil society organizations.
How did you get to know their situation? I mean, did they contact you to say what was happening?
We were contacted briefly before they were escorted away, and we no longer have contact with them.
We have not been able to reach the Tanzanian authorities, but why do you suppose they were taken?
It is beyond me to understand why the Tanzanian authorities would detain people with the Committee to Protect Journalists, who are there obviously to protect journalists and do independent reporting on what is the situation in the country. But unfortunately, we know that Tanzanian police and authorities have detained journalists and others in a crackdown that has been going on human rights and press freedom in the country for, you know, some time now. So there was a journalist detained in August. There have been numerous fines slapped on television stations for reporting on human rights abuses. There have been bans placed on newspapers and radio stations. So, you know, there are severe concerns about the press freedom environment there, but that's certainly no excuse to detain our colleagues.
So have you contacted the Tanzanian government about the whereabouts of your friends?
We are using every means that we have to find out information about their whereabouts and to secure their release. This is a developing situation right now, and so we are pursuing every means that we have, as well as trying to get in touch with the Tanzanian authorities.
Courtney, thank you very much again. So nice to speak with you.
Nice to speak with you as well.
Courtney Rash is Advocates and Director for the Committee to Protect Journalists. She was speaking with me from Washington, D.C. You're listening to Daybreak Africa on the Voice of America. I'm James Barty in Washington. And today is Thursday, November 8th. And please send your comments and opinions to Daybreak Africa at voanews.com. Let's send shout out to listeners on all our affiliate stations around Africa. Daybreak Africa time is 16 minutes past the hour. A UN Security Council official visiting South Sudan is calling on President Salva Kiir's administration to enact laws to protect children in South Sudan. The Swedish ambassador to the United Nations is leading a Security Council working group on children and armed conflict who are touring South Sudan. Wake Simon-Wudu has the story from Juba.
Ambassador Cook and his team met with the First Vice President Abandengai, Chief of Defense Forces General Gabriel Jokriak, and the Inspector General of the South Sudan National Police Service, General Majak Akech Malok, along with the other officials on the issue of protecting South Sudanese children.
The impunity for violations against children have been and continues to be a problem, we believe. So we've discussed also how accountability can be improved.
Cook says the government should enact a law criminalizing sex abuses the United Nations identified as constituting grave violations against the children, the killing and maiming of children, recruitment into armed conflict, rape and abduction, the use of schools and hospitals for military operations, and the blockade of humanitarian access. Cook says all the warring parties involved in South Sudan's five-year conflict have abused children and must be held accountable.
Many of these violations need to be part of the criminal law, penal law. And in that case, the justice system should penalize and criminalize and put to justice any violator of crimes committed.
Cook also called on the army, police and wildlife officials to observe such laws and advised the government to employ competent prosecutors in both the civilian and military realms to investigate and prosecute serious conflict-related cases involving the abuse of children. And Cook reiterated the need to establish a hybrid court to try perpetrators of war-related crimes, which the UN and the African Union both support. He says warring parties must stop recruiting children into their forces and release child soldiers per the requirements of the peace agreement. Virginia Gamba, the UN Special Representative of the Secretary General for Children and Armed Conflict, made similar recommendations after visiting South Sudan a month ago. Gamba reported that nearly 1,400 children have been verified as having been directly affected by South Sudan's warring parties. Armed groups have said they are committed to demobilizing child soldiers. Some 900 child soldiers were released by government and rebel groups this year after rallies staged by rights groups. But Cook says more must be done.
I believe that the peace agreement in its revitalized form is an opportunity to turn the corner and to move forward when it comes to really and truly protecting the interests of the children of South Sudan.
According to Gamba, the conflict has caused immense suffering to children. In her report, Gamba said at least 1,221 children were recruited by both government and rebel forces into armed conflict in 2017 alone. For VOA News, I'm Wake Simon-Wudu in Juba.
Guinea-Bissau students are planning a protest today, Thursday, to demand government intervention in the ongoing teachers' strike. Schools have still not opened in the country, and teachers will also demonstrate over the weekend. Civil society activist Carlos De Silva tells Ricky Stryak the teachers are asking the government to address the need to pay teachers' debts that are old and invest in career advancement for long-serving educators.
We do not know anything about the school for this year. It's still closed, and the government showing no interest to negotiate with the teachers' union and so on. And so we decided to do something, you know.
What is the issue right now? The schools have still not opened. Is that correct? Is there any open date for them?
Nothing, because even yesterday, the three teachers' union decided again to do a peaceful demonstration on this coming Sunday, because they said, according to the spokesperson, that this government led by Alessandro Gomez is interested in negotiating with the teachers' union. And so they decided to go on strike because the government focused more on the election and they neglect education side. And this created a lot of billion of the teachers, you know. What does the problem go on ground right now?
Is this teacher strike and the lack of opening of schools in Bissau, is it at all related to the fact that parliamentary elections have been postponed? They were scheduled to be held November 18th, but it doesn't look like that's going to happen. Is that correct?
It's not going to happen anymore. It's the representative election because, you know, according to the schedule, it was on November 18th. But now the National Committee for Election extended the register voters until November 20th, which means that the election cannot take place anymore. And so far, there is no another appointed date. And there's some people who want to say, okay, we can just postpone by the late of this year, meaning by December. But there's some groups that think that it's better to postpone it for next year, and we can do at once general election.
What about the teacher strike? What are they asking for?
There is implementation of teachers' careers because, according to the spokesperson yesterday, you see, the demand is in compliance with the status of the teaching career and the payment of all arrears debts to teachers. Because so we work 10 years, 11 years, 20 years, and you are still gaining the same thing, you are in the same place, you cannot move forward and gain the same thing that someone that just finished 1 year ago or something like that, and it's frustrating for them. They need this career, teacher's career to implement it. This is first demand, and then also to pay the arrears debt they had in some years ago.
Our civil society activist Carlos De Silva. You're speaking to Ricky Stryak from Bissau, Guinea-Bissau. Zimbabwe police say 47 people died yesterday, Wednesday, in a road traffic accident along the Harare-Muntari Highway. It is believed speed or reckless driving was responsible for the accident. On the line from Harare is Assistant Police Commissioner Paul Nyanti. Good morning to you, Assistant Commissioner Paul Nyanti. Good morning. Thank you, Commissioner. What can you tell us about the bus accident?
Yes, we can confirm, James, that last night there was a fatal road traffic accident which occurred at the 1:30 along Harare-Muntari Road, where 47 people died when two buses, a Broadcutter bus, which was going towards Mutare, and a Smart Express bus, which was going towards Harare, they had a collision at the 160 kilometer peak Harare-Muntari Road just before the Rusape toll gate. And it is alleged that one of the buses was trying to overtake. As we speak, police and other stakeholders are still attending the accident, and the more information will be released during the course of the day.
Assistant Commissioner Nyanti, what were the road conditions like?
Muntari Road, remember, was recently resurfaced. So the road conditions are good, but we want to find out what will happen. And it is alleged that one of the buses, or in fact all the buses, were speeding, and the one was trying to overtake. So after carrying out comprehensive inquiries, then we will release full information on the accident.
What do you suppose Assistant Commissioner is responsible? Because some information we have is that there are sometimes many accidents sometimes in Zimbabwe. What do you think is the reason? Is that because people are speeding or what?
It is speeding. Like in this case, it is the speeding. From what the criminal investigations have so far established, it is the speeding. And also the issue of trying to overtake when the situation does not allow one to safely overtake.
The vehicles involved, these were what, passenger vehicles, is that right?
Yes, passenger vehicles, buses, in fact.
Assistant Commissioner Paul Nyati, thank you very much again for speaking with us.
You're welcome.
That was Zimbabwe Assistant Police Commissioner Paul Nyati speaking with us from Harare. Many people know that a woman's health, including her diet and exercise habits, can impact the health of her baby even before she gets pregnant. Many women try to shed excess weight and check with their doctors to optimize their health. But until recently, little was known about a father's diet and exercise choices. VOA's Carol Pearson reports on a study that shows that just like women, there is a link between the father's health and that of their unborn children.
Just like that, okay?
Matthew Hurt is teaching his young sons how to hit a baseball. He wants them to enjoy sports and exercising.
I want it to be just natural for them. I don't want it to be a chore, right? I want them to just want to go outside, want to be active, and enjoy life to its fullest.
A study at Ohio State University Wexner Medical Center looked at the impact of fathers' exercise habits on their offspring. Kristen Stanford is a member of Ohio State's Diabetes and Metabolism Research Center. She co-led the study. The results showed that even moderate exercise before a baby was conceived
resulted in improved metabolic health in their adult offspring. So essentially it improved their glucose metabolism, decreased body weight, and increased their insulin sensitivity.
The World Health Organization says one in four adults worldwide are dangerously inactive. That increases the risk of obesity, high blood pressure, heart disease, stroke, cancer, and diabetes. Inactivity also has social and economic consequences. The research at Ohio State was done in mice. More work needs to be done to see if it applies to people as well.
The idea would be that if you have a dad who wants to have a child, if they could exercise maybe just the month prior to conception, that would have a really dramatic effect on their child's life.
The researchers also found that exercise helped even with a poor diet. Sedentary mice fed a high-fat diet passed along negative health issues like obesity and insulin resistance. But those effects were completely reversed by exercise.
A high-fat diet, even a mild high-fat diet, in this case it was only 3 weeks, changed the profile, but exercise kind of restored it back to normal.
More work needs to be done to see if the same applies to humans. But in the animal studies, exercise for the male mouse was key to the health of his offspring. Carol Pearson, VOA News, Washington.
Briefly, before we leave you a summary of Africa News, the Cameroon government says abducted students rescued yesterday are in good condition. Information Minister Isaac Chiroman Bakary says the students are undergoing a thorough medical examination. Bakary says the rescue was made possible by the combined effort of Cameroon Defense and Security Forces as well as vigilante groups. And that is it for this Thursday, November 8th edition of Daybreak Africa. On behalf of the Daybreak Africa crew, producer Nicole Beckford, reporters Peter Clotty and Ricky Stryak, as well as sports editor Samson O'Malley, along with our engineer John Ellison, I'm James Barton in Washington, wishing you a very good day.
Hello, this is Shaka Sali, host of Straight Talk Africa.
Is there a leadership deficit in Africa? Does the continent lack leaders who are compassionate about their citizens and believe in strong institutions? Host Shaka Sali returns to lead a discussion on the importance of strong leaders and strong institutions on the next Straight Talk Africa.
Tune in Wednesdays at 18:30 UTC right here on VOA Africa.
The 2019 Voice of America calendars are in. This year's calendar features a variety of scenic photos that capture the beautiful byways of the United States, including magnificent photos of California's Big Sur Coast Highway, West Virginia's Highland Scenic Highway, and even the Cata All-American Road in Maine. Tune into Border Crossings and call to request a free calendar.
Thank you.